Once upon a time, there was a girl in her teens who loved horses. Her name was Rachel. She suffered from depression and anxiety, and she naturally turned to those horses to find moments of hope and comfort. She shared her love of horses with her friends to lift and support them as well. And when her depression and anxiety overwhelmed her and she passed away, the foundation that she had laid with her horse inspired her family. Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm your host, Lori Lee. Stay with us as we talk about mental health and a program that's really helping girls and women navigate the hard spaces. Stories are our lives in language. Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm Lori Lee, and I'm excited for our future together of telling stories, evaluating our own stories, and lifting ourselves and others to greater places because of our control over our stories. This podcast is about empowerment and giving you, the listener, ideas to work with in making your stories work for you. Story power serves you best when you know how to use it. After Rachel Covey passed away, her family took her love of horses and hoped to create a neighborhood riding program to support the mental health of girls and women through equine-assisted learning. Yes, hanging out with horses. Today, we're talking with Nicole Holgren, the executive director of Bridle Up Hope out of Alpine, Utah. It's a Rachel Covey Foundation. And we'll hear how this program finds itself in a tidal wave of miracles as it creates hope for so many girls and women that are struggling in this space, like all of us do at different times. We also get to hear how it grew much larger than just a neighborhood writing program. Nicole, so happy to have you on the Love Your Story podcast. Welcome.
Hi, Lori. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. I want stories. When you and I were talking last month. Yeah, we filled a couple hours with stories of the miracles that have been supporting Bridle Up Hope and you and the whole program, and even miracles supporting you getting there. So let's start with your story. Where were you in life when you started crossing paths with Bridle Up Hope?
Yeah, so I was working in the mortgage industry. I was working with an incredible team processing, and I actually loved my job at the time. So it was more of a skirt and heels kind of job than a boots and jeans kind of job. And in my personal life, I found myself going through a divorce that I did not see coming. I had two children. One was my, you know, daughter who had just graduated from high school, and a son who was not far behind her. And so, you know, I was trying to find a way to, you know, process everything that was happening in my personal life. And it was really, you know, bringing me to my knees. And, you know, in the mortgage world, you have deadlines and you have things to take care of, and you can't really, you know, just stop and take time for yourself, even though sometimes it forces you to. And, you know, it was making me not be as good of a mother and not as good in my workplace. And, you know, I'm trying to hold it together. And I was keeping it pretty private because I didn't really know exactly what was going on. And so information, you know, we were finding out different things every day. And we were, you know, trying to be kind and figure out how to tell people. I think that's a really hard thing when you're headed for a divorce and you're having marriage problems. Like, you know,
there's all kinds of things to navigate. Absolutely.
Right.
Complex and emotional.
Right. And how do you, you know, process it and be a good person through it? Right. And so, I had a dear friend who had horses, and I was riding with her, trying to find, you know, some peace during that really tumultuous period of time. And, she could tell something was going on, and I shared, you know, some of the things. And she said, you know, you really should go ride at this place that I teach. And I had no idea where she was teaching or what she was doing. And so it was at Bridle Up Hope. And so I sent in, this is almost 6-7 years ago. And I sent in, you know, at that time they were in a much smaller facility. And they didn't even have at the time a women's program. They were doing mainly 12 through young adult. And she had me fill out this form and I sent it in and it kind of was off my radar. And then it was a few weeks later, and it was the day my ex-husband had moved out, and it was a super hard time for me and my kids. And I was actually in my car crying at the time. And I got a phone call, and it was my instructor. Her name's Cindy Powell. She was fantastic, but she was actually calling to tell me they didn't have a women's program. And I told her, you were supposed to call me on this day and this minute. And so they ended up doing a program for a woman who was me, and that we now have a women's program. We have, you know, teenage program from 12 to 18, and then we have a women's program for over 18.
This is a great transition into what Bridle Up Hope is. The name itself is kind of confusing. I keep saying it slow because Bridle Up Hope is not something you hear very often. Yes, so yes. Bridle like a horse bridle, bridle up hope. Yes. And I told a little bit in the introduction, but tell us what it is and what it did what it does.
Yeah. So Bridle Up Hope is a girls equestrian arena. And like I mentioned, we start at ages 12 and up, and we teach the seven habits. So it's three pillars. The first pillar is a woman or a girl, her instructor, and a horse. And they work one-on-one with the horses. And then the second pillar is the seven habits for highly effective teens or people, depending on the age demographic. And so Stephen R. Covey wrote The Seven Habits for Highly Effective People, and Sean Covey is one of our founders. So Sean and Rebecca Covey started Bridle Up Hope in memory of their daughter, Rachel, who passed away after struggling with depression and anxiety. They knew she had found peace with horses, right? Throughout her life. In fact, many of her friends shared those experiences after her passing, how horses had brought peace to their lives. And so they thought, you know what, let's start a neighborhood riding program, was what they initially thought. And then Sean works all over the world teaching the seven habits through the Leader in Me program, which is the school system program. And he knows it builds leaders out of individuals. And so he thought, what if we take the seven habits and incorporate it with horses and see what happens? So the first
it's brilliant, one, right? And everybody knows Stephen Covey and the seven habits of highly effective people.
Right. It's just amazing. So I feel like the seven habits were meant to be taught with horses at this point in my life. But so that's the second pillar, is the seven habits. And then the third pillar, we allow the women and girls to come and serve at the barn. We have extra classes here as well at our Alpine location, where we have yoga classes that focus on meditation and breathing, self-defense classes that we focus on finding your voice. And every 10 hours that our students come to the barn for any of the extra classes, whether they come to do service and help take care of the horses, or they come to find some peace through meditation and yoga, every 10 hours is an earned lesson above and beyond their regular lesson program. And so, they're able to come and just have a place of peace. Bridle Up Hope, I know for me, when I came, like I mentioned, during a really difficult time, I found so much peace here myself, so much so that I ended up joining their team and switching jobs at a time where that was not something that was on my horizon. Switching jobs was not something, you know, everything else seemed to be moving and changing, and so change wasn't something I was trying to get more of, but it was just I was being pulled here, you know.
Well, let's talk about the success of the program really quickly, because it's right now you guys are full and you have a waiting list and you are able to help 100, you can fill in the details here, but 100 girls per month. There's some scholarship programs for some that are in need, but it's a highly successful program that is filled to capacity, right?
Yes. So our Alpine location, we have 100 lessons a week. Our girls program goes for 14 weeks and their lessons are an hour and 15 minutes each week. And then our women's program, they have seven lessons for 7 weeks. And so they go for 2 hours, quite honestly, because women, we just talk longer. And so we want to dig into the habits more specifically, where I feel like the girls, it's incorporated in more so with the horses and made into a 1,100 to 1,500 pound object lesson. And so they're learning the habits through the horses a little bit more, where I feel like women are more open for life skills. So they have more classroom time, but as they do the two programs, they're able to build on their skills and continue learning and growing. And so that's what I did when I came. I did the program and learn and grew and took those habits. And then again, they're able to keep coming back by earning lessons, which I think community is something a lot of us are lacking right now, you know, coming out of COVID. And, you know, a lot of people are working online now, which is awesome because you can be home more and be able to have, you know, children who you navigate and things like that. But it's also making us have less connection and community. And so they're
well, and service. Yeah. Coming and working and being a part of it and being back with their family in a safe space. Like that's a win-win.
Right. I mean, we even had, I feel like it's such a peaceful space. We had a mom who she did a review of Bridal Up Hope and she would drop her daughter off and she would sit out on our front porch swing. And she just found, it ended up almost being a Google review of our front porch and that amazing peaceful space on the swing. Cause that's where she was, you know, during her daughter's lessons. And so we are incredibly busy here with 100 lessons a week. We have, you know, so many instructors and service and yoga and art, and we even do line dancing classes to bring in fun and community. But it's a place of peace. If I can say anything for Bridal Up Hope, when, you know, you're going through something, it brings peace into your life. And our mission really is to inspire hope, confidence, and resilience through equestrian training and the seven habits. And that's what we do.
What kind of issues do you see primarily? Like, what are the most predominant things that women are trying to navigate when they come to you?
Do you know what? I honestly, you name it, we've probably seen it. You know, I remember doing back-to-back barn tours. And I had a young 12-year-old girl who came through and she had been through some really traumatic sexual abuse. And she was, you know, feeling empowered and she didn't want that to define her. And she was trying to find a way for that to be part of her story, but not her whole story. And then I did a barn tour right after it. And it was a girl who had been cut from her cheer team at 17. And she just felt like there was, like, her entire purpose was gone. Her community was gone, her purpose. And she just didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, go to school, talk to anyone. And so her parents were incredibly concerned. You know, I've worked with counselors and therapists. We worked with the foster care system to have girls from foster care. We're not a clinical program. So that's something that's a little different about Bridal Up Hope. We're EAL, which is equine assisted learning. So we're learning the seven habits through the horses. And so they continue learning and growing, but it can be for anyone. You know, I've had people who have lost a spouse, who've lost a parent. I've had people who come who, are going through young adult life and really struggling with all the, you know, perceived paradigms of where you should be, you know, you know, when you should be married, when you should be having your first kid, when you should know what career you're going into, you know, where you should be in college, like all of these pressures. And some
those
of them
are real. Those are real.
They are very real. Where, you know, these pressures we put either on ourselves or as a culture, we put them on ourselves, but it can be incredibly, you know, create anxiety and depression if you feel like you're not where you're supposed to be, especially with social media.
Share, you know, some, a specific miracle story, something that you've seen happen with one of the girls or one of the women that just was really stood out to you.
Oh, I can share so, so many. So I had a student come who, she had gone through some clinical treatment for an eating disorder But when she came, she was doing well as far as physically with her eating disorder. She, you know, received a lot of support and help, but she was depressed. She was anxious. She didn't feel like she was enough. And she came and she did the program, and she was so just like the way she stood, the way she carried herself, even how her hair would kind of fall forward into her face and she would kind of be looking through her hair. she would, you know, never speak out. But she came to the barn and did her lessons, and you would just watch her get taller. I swear she grew 2 inches while she was here. She started going to service, which that's always nervous, right? Because they're one-on-one with their riding instructor. But when they come to service, you know, we've had 2,000 alumni come. So she could be with, you know, 15 other girls doing service. And so that can be a little scary for anyone, even our women. And so she started coming in. You could see her slowly start to find her own voice and her confidence. And she ended up, you know, years after she had done the program, she ended up becoming one of our service leads and helping the girls when they come to serve. And she then became a mentor. And I worked with their family for quite a while. And they said, you know, we wish we would have found you sooner. That's the only negative thing we have to say about Bridal of Hope, is we wish we had found you sooner. I have a woman who came who was here just for a tour, and I wasn't exactly sure what had brought her here. So sometimes that's the mystery, you know, they are brought here, but you aren't sure why. But there usually is a reason, and it's usually when they're looking for more hope, confidence, and resilience. So we're trying to find the why. And I walked her around, and she would start crying here and there, and just a heaviness to our conversation. And we walked around, and she's a young adult. And when we finished our tour, she was very emotional. And I asked her, you know, what brought you here? And she told me, you know, I just had a child, and unlike all of my friends, I am not doing well. I don't know if I want to be a wife, a mom, or even if I want to be here. And she's like, I feel like you're the first person I've said this to. And there's a level of shame around that when it's your child and you want to, you know, do what it looks like on Instagram, right? You want to just, so she's trying to measure up to, you know, and she had postpartum and she was really struggling. And she came into the program, and she connected with our yoga program a lot too. So she was coming to classes, but she just thanked us so much and said, you know, I couldn't have done this without you. And she ended up having a second child years later. And she said, I would not have been open to having more children, and if I hadn't found you. And she's moved out of state, so whenever she's in town, she'll call and she'll be like, hey, can I come to the barn? But you know, that it's how, and it goes on, it continues to, you know, bring hope into their lives even after they've left. And then if they go through a difficult time, you know, we're still here. They're still welcome. We call it our barn family, and they're able to pivot back and come back to the barn, come back to, you know, where they remember finding peace. I had a
and
woman.
Safety. Yeah. Safety. When you're in places like that, there, it's that feeling of not being safe, or even if it's being in places where you're being judged or not being safe because you maybe you're physically not safe in an abuse situation, right, or something, right. But a community where there's safety mentally and physically and emotionally, what a haven that can be.
Right. Right. And even for me, you know, I felt like it gave me tools that I was able to use in my personal life to be able to navigate what was happening, and to show up for myself, for my kids, for, you know, my line of work, so much so that I switched careers. And again, I'm not the little girl who always wanted her own horse. I think most of my participants and staff are, you know, equestrians and want to be one, you know. I was a heel skirts city girl, like rode a horse in the Bahamas. Like that was kind of my background. And so when the Coveys asked me to come over and join the team, I honestly felt like this was not the right role, but they needed someone to kind of handle the overview of it and the program side and get things going. I have incredible trainers and staff who teach. But it's, even though I didn't have that training, there's something about a horse. They just are intuitive animals. And it really helped me to be able to have something to focus on that opened me up. It took my walls down, and I'm really good at walls. I can build walls like Fort Knox.
Well, I was going to say, that was my next question. Why horses? What is it about them that allows women to connect with them so well, that allows, you know, what is that? What's that magic?
Yeah. So it's, they're very intuitive animals. And whenever you come into contact with a horse, they're herd animals. And I remember my first lesson as if it was yesterday. I came and I was working with a horse here, and we were in a round pen. And again, I haven't worked with horses. and so we're doing something called groundwork. And so we're in a round pen, and I have a training stick, or a whip. And I'm standing in the middle of this round pen, and my instructor is on the outside, and she's coaching me, and she's telling me how to get the horse to move. And so I'm having the horse go in circles in this round pen, and he's watching me. And this is something that's very instinctual for horses. When they come in contact in any situation, they're herd animals. So they're looking for, who's the leader? Am I the leader? Or are you the leader? And so this is every single, who's in charge? That is what they're looking for. And so we're doing groundwork in this round pen, and my instructor said to me, she goes, I want to point out a few things. Where a horse's ears are is where his eyes are. And she said, where are his ears? And I looked and I said, his ears are on you. She goes, okay, so why do you think his ears are on me if you're the one giving him instructions? I said, he knows you, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, like all the things, you know. And she said, it's more than that. How are you carrying yourself? How are you standing? And I said, I honestly just felt like I was standing like normal. And she said, straighten up, stand taller with confidence. And I kind of just sat up, and his ears immediately turned toward me.
Isn't that interesting? Wow.
Oh my God. Fascinating, right? Because they're communicating through body language.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next thing she said, she goes, so when you ask him to turn and switch directions, he's turning with his hind end toward you. She goes, so in a horse's world, a form of disrespect to another horse or pushback would be turning his hind end or kicking out toward you. That's what they would do. And so when he turns with his hind end toward you, it's actually a form of pushback or disrespect. And so he goes, next time you turn him and he does that, I want you to increase the pressure. I want you to lift your arm a little higher. I want you to kind of swing the training stick. So it, you put pressure back on him and let him know that's unacceptable to push my boundary. And so I started doing this. And the next time I asked him to turn, he turned with his head toward me. And at the end of this lesson, you know, she had me turn my back toward the horse, which is kind of scary for me, right? Because, you know, here's this over 1,000-pound animal and I'm not used to them. So she goes, I want you to lower your training stick and turn your back to the horse. And this horse came up behind me and touched his nose to my back. And she goes, okay, I want you to just reach back and rub his head. And then I want you to walk forward. So as I started walking forward, this horse is following me. And she goes, we call this here a join up. And she goes, our horse sees you as the leader now. And she goes, we do groundwork to try to establish, you know, where the horse is feeling mentally. You know, sometimes they'll come in super spicy. You know, you can do this with a Mustang, you know, that's wild and coming. The pushback will be much more severe. So ours aren't wild Mustangs, but, and it was just so empowering. And she said, you know, how, you know, you have worked out being the leader here with this horse. How are you being a leader in your life? And I just remember thinking, wow, well done.
Right. Okay. You know, so that I was at first thinking horses, there's just something about a non-judgmental, you know, animal right. that you connect with, but it's even it's more so than that. More.
It's so much more.
You have a goal for having 1,000 locations around the planet, and you have one right now in Ukraine. Tell the vision for this, because obviously you guys are at capacity. You have a waiting list. So listeners who are listening and need this, call, you know, don't shy away from this Alpine location at all. Tell us about the other locations and what your vision is and how people can, how the women and girls who need this, where they can go.
Yes, yes. So we have four locations in the state of Utah. We have one in Kaysville with our Davis County location. And then we have Mapleton. And then we have St. George. And then Alpine is our headquarters. All of them do have wait lists, but they are incredible barns. Not all of them are as large as headquarters. Headquarters is probably the largest and has most capacity. So with 100 lessons a week. We ask each location to do a minimum of 25 students a year. And then we have Pocatello, Idaho. We have San Jose, California. We have New Mexico. We work with Ukraine location, which is our most difficult. We opened that location in September, and we have done some fundraising for them independently because each location is independently owned and operated, so they do their own fundraising. But our Ukraine location, we have helped on that side of things. And when that location came on our radar, it was just the funniest thing. I'd been out of town, and the Covey family dreams big. Like, they dream really, really big. I always hear the phrase, make attainable goals. And I think someone should have the Covey family making attainable goals for them, because just dream big and then it happens, you know? So I am Rebecca Covey and I were meeting after I had been out of town, and she, you know, was talking, and she was kind of here for a minute. And Rebecca and I don't have a ton of time where we aren't going 200 miles an hour coming up with ideas and solutions and expansion and so many different things. And you could tell something was on her mind. And I said, Rebecca, what are you thinking? What's on your mind? And she said, I think we should open a location in Ukraine. Okay, keep in mind, like, the news at this time is quite negative with the war with Russia and Ukraine. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea, but I don't know that war, you know, and missiles and go really well with horses. She said, well, while you are out of town, we had some people reach out and they really want this there. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be open-minded, seek first to understand, then to be understood, which is one of the habits. and so we had this Zoom call with a possible Ukraine location. We had translators on our call, and Rebecca's kind of sitting off screen on this Zoom call. And I'm talking to them, and I said, I feel like maybe not right now, may not be the best time, you know? I feel like food and shelter and heat, you know, there's so many things that I feel like are a priority for you right now. And the woman who owns that location said, I will never forget this statement, but she said, food will get us through the week. Shelter and heat will get us through the winter. Hope will get us through the war. And what we need right now is hope. And that's, if it, Bridal Up Hope does anything, it brings hope. And so Rebecca Covey is an incredible woman, and she's sitting off screen. She just kind of shrugged and smiled. She goes, okay, it's up to you. Say no now, you know.
Well, and let's talk about miracles really quick too, yes. Because I promised miracles at the beginning of this, right. And then there's been so many things to talk about. I know there's been miracles around Ukraine opening up and other miracles as well. What are some of the miracles that you have really, well, that have allowed this to open up the way it has?
Right. So even with our Ukraine location, the way they heard about us was fascinating. So Janice and Corey Lindley are the founders of our Mapleton location, and they had donated a vehicle to a nonprofit that was helping get resources through the Ukraine. So they had donated toward sponsoring a vehicle there. And some of the purpose of that vehicle was to get therapists in and out of a city called Chernihiv that was helping navigate some of the war trauma that women and kids and girls had been through. And so they were kind of doing a follow-up conversation and said, you know, how is it going? How's the therapist going? You know, how is it working? And they said, well, the talk therapy is a little more difficult for the women there. And there's this barn next door, and they'll just line up along the fence line with these horses. And I feel like the horses are doing more therapy than the barn is, you know, than the therapists are. And so it was just the cutest thing to hear, you know, because they didn't know what Janice did. And so Janice said, you know, you should really really talk to the Covey family and hear what I do here at this facility and also at headquarters. I had an older woman who said, you know, I felt like my life was at, you know, she was older and she felt like she was over, you know, the prime of her life. And she was kind of wrapping up and she goes, this helped me learn that this is the beginning of a new era of my life and not the end of my life. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is so incredibly empowering. You know, that just these ideas and
so much hope, so much healing. And it sounds like no matter where you are at in life, the empowerment that's coming, the vision that's coming, the renewal within the women that's coming. I mean, those are miracles. When you can find the right recipe that starts creating that in people, how crucial that is for us right now.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's something one of my instructors, Hannah Wood, said to me one day. So she's worked in an internship in clinical care as well as being an instructor here at Bridal Up Hope. And she said, the more I've been part of Bridal Up Hope, she's been here for years. She said, the more I have found that the story of the girl, the trauma, the story, the struggle isn't as important as teaching them the life skills, because they take those life skills and the habits and they carry them with them throughout their life. And so they're the ones applying them to what's going on. So the habits meet them wherever they are, whatever they're going through, they're being met there. So whether they're working through something like a divorce as I was, or if they're, you know, a girl going into junior high and trying to figure out where she belongs in this world and build confidence and friendships. And, you know, there's so many changes that we go through in life and there's going to be hard, right? And mental health is a journey for each of us. You know, there used to be this narrative that something was wrong with you if you were going through, you know, a struggle with mental health. And some is more extreme than others, but some can be circumstantial when you're going through a different, you know, a difficult time, a loss. I have a lot of women who come when their kids get older and move out. And if you've been a stay-at-home parent working with your children and then your youngest moves out, that's like losing a job, right? I feel like people don't prepare you for that moment.
Well, mental health, I think, is one of the world's largest challenges right now, especially in United States.
For sure. Yes. No. And it can be brought on by so many different things. You know, I have a lot of my parents give feedback about screen times and bullying and, you know, their perception of themselves, where they measure up in this world. You know, I feel like as women, we naturally compare ourselves to others. And, you know, when you get on social media, you can look up thousands of accounts of people who look like they're doing it way better than you are.
Well, and I think that it affects young men that way also. I watch how it affects my kids, and I find it really disheartening and and strangely powerful.
Right. It's so very interesting to, and hard to watch as well. You know, if you have a child who's struggling, like it can really break your heart. And sometimes you don't know what to do, because teenagers sometimes naturally start to gravitate away from their parents and start looking more toward their sibling or their peers and pull away. And so sometimes having, you know, mentorship or advice come from a third party, especially with teenagers, can be incredibly empowering.
That's a great point.
I had a dad tell me once that he goes, my daughter comes home with profound things that she says she's never heard before. I've taught her these things in our home for decades. And I'm glad you're getting credit for raising my child.
I'm laughing because I feel like there's going to be a day when all of that happens here.
Yes, right?
I feel like my kids are going to be like, oh, aha moment. What about this? And I'm going to be like, this is what I've been telling you the whole time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That can be a really frustrating time for parents, because they, you know, they love their kids. They love their teenagers. They want to do what's best, but sometimes having them go and be somewhere where they're independent on their own. Parents don't watch lessons. They're not in lessons. And we really are trying to empower these girls to find their voice.
Okay, so how do we do that? If listeners have kids or feel their own need to engage in this, where do they go to find you?
Yeah, so they would go to our website, bridaluphope.org, and they would just go select their location and sign their daughter up. You can go for a tour as well if you want to come and see what it is that we do here. And then when you fill out a sign up, one of the last questions is, would you like to apply for a partial scholarship? And so it's based off of household income. If you select yes, it'll populate some financial questions. And we really want to make the program more affordable for everyone so that this is something that can be a resource. And so we have a lot of incredible donors who donate to our scholarship program, which helps us to be able to expand our reach and empower more women and girls.
And what if you're someone who has some equestrian facilities and wants to open up a Bridle Up Hope? How do you proceed with something like that?
Definitely reach out. It has contact information on our website. You can send an email. Let us know where you're located. We like to have our locations 1 to 2 hours apart from each other. But there's states all over the country that we don't have a Bridle Up Hope yet. And we have people call and say, you know, I live in Colorado and I want to come. Where's the closest location? And, you know, different places, Florida, I've had several people reach out in the Florida area looking for this. So there's definitely a need all over the world. But we would definitely love to partner with locations that would be a good fit.
So when I was, after you and I had our first talk and you shared so many of the miracle stories, being inspired to align certain students with certain teachers and all these, a lot of really neat things that we haven't talked about on today's show. But the title for this that came to me was What God Can Do with Loss. And I felt like that was so powerful because you take sweet Rachel and the loss of her life and you see the alchemy that has happened with the love of her family and the miracles that brought you into place that have helped open locations in the Ukraine, that just so many pieces that have fit together and so many lives that it is affecting on an ongoing basis. I think this idea takes, it bears thinking about for a moment that one loss can be turned to so much good. Do you see that in what you're doing? Do you feel that?
Right. So I have been with the Covey family for quite some time now, and losing a child is a level of grief that some of us can only imagine. And Sean had someone say to him after Rachel's passing that he would forever have a hole in his heart where Rachel was. And he remembered thinking, no, I don't want there to be a hole. I want there to be muscle. I want there to be growth from this. And as you can imagine, they did not know, you know, they aren't equestrians, you know, their daughters had horses and they would do, you know, eventing and things, but it was a hobby that their daughters had gravitated to. You know, Sean and Rebecca had no intention of having 19 horses here and we do, you know, and when they started to just reach out to some of their neighbors through Rachel's horses, they had no idea how it was going to have this incredible impact. And it's amazing when I sit with people when they're in grief or hard and sit by their side and hear what brought them here. The example of the Coveys is such a beautiful example of resilience, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it gives us hope. It gave me hope in my heart. You know, if Rebecca and Sean can find a way to turn the loss of their daughter into something beautiful, like I surely can turn, you know, my heart into something beautiful and be resilient and push through that myself, you know, because some of our struggles can really, really stop you right in your steps and just really bring you down. And so just having hope, I feel like hope is what the Covey family is an example of in creating Bridle Up Hope.
Oh, Nicole, that's a beautiful place to sort of tie this together and end it here. As we mentioned, mental health is maybe one of the world's largest challenges right now. And how wonderful that there are like highly productive programs like this that are saving and supporting and helping us navigate mental health at this really crucial time. This is a story of making a difference. It's a story of miracles. It's a story of saving lives. Congratulations on being able to be a part of this.
It's an honor.
To the listeners, if you know any women who may be struggling with mental health issues, or if you want to be involved by opening your own Bridle Up Hope or seeking help from them or donating, share this episode with anybody who may need it and reach out to them if they can be a part of your life. Have a wonderful week and remember to create your best life with full intention using all the tools that you can. Listen to back episodes for the best tools and mind training to help you create your best story. And we'll see you in 2 weeks for the next episode of the Love Your Story podcasts.